Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Lance, I've been busting my brain to figure this one out. I don't know over a three-day period that we've had, other than winning, well, even so, all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all 3 days. Because in the playoffs, you'll get a day off. You won't play back-to-back-to-back. So those big wins, those are really, really big wins. I don't know that we had three bigger wins. Maybe if the Astros were playing the Yankees on Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the playoffs and they swept them all three games. But when you think about Friday and dominating, kicking OKC's butt, I mean the best team in the NBA and the way that they played on Friday night, and then one of the greatest college basketball wins, if not the greatest in program history for the Cougs. And then last night, going to Golden State, where you hadn't won since 2019, the dynasty. I mean, Golden State has dominated you, been the reason that you don't have championships here, and the way that they played and the way they beat them. I don't know, three quality wins on those 3 days since we've talked to everybody.
No, it's about as good as it gets. I mean, the high-leverage situations you're talking about, you've got just unbelievable wins. I mean, we'll get to the Cougar win plenty, I'm sure. For the Rockets, who probably won't get as much conversation maybe today, hopefully they do. They deserve it. I mean, Amen Thompson, what he did to SGA at times in that game was staggering. Yeah. Yesterday, he held Steph Curry to 3 points.
Three.
3 points. After the game, Alperin said, was telling Vanessa Richardson, that you couldn't even talk to him all day long. He had this look on his face like, you know, he wasn't smiling. Yeah. He just said, you just didn't talk to him. You didn't talk to him during the game. He is a special, special player. And the Rockets right now, you know, for all this, like, but they're, you know, they're winning the games they're supposed to against not very good teams. Well, they got this really hard stretch coming up. Yep. Looks like everyone else has a hard stretch coming up with the Rockets.
Well, we got to talk Cougs.
They won 15 of 17 games. This is the best team in the West right now.
It's incredible. It is incredible what they're doing and the way that they're playing. But that game on Saturday night was so disappointing with about 10 minutes to go. They were playing their worst game. Duke was on pace to score 78 points. They had 58 with 10 minutes to go, so they were on pace for 77, which is not a good defensive effort for this team. They were dominating the game. The Cougs couldn't make layups. It looked like it was heading towards just another disappointment, and something clicked in that they got a burst, and they got a confidence that we saw. It was Cougs basketball from the 10-minute mark on. And it was – I can't believe the numbers. Did you happen to see the numbers? The Duke stats were incredible. It is the first time in 336 games that a team had a higher field goal percentage, more free throw attempts, more assists, fewer turnovers, more steals.
Look,
that team, that had all of those things were 335-0 going into that game.
Duke was the better team. Duke outplayed Houston for almost the entire game. But what happened was
Houston, for three quarters anyway.
But what happened was Houston, and this is something that has been, we've discussed this for probably 3 years. When you play defense like Houston does, you give yourself a chance. You don't, if you don't play defense, when another team goes on a run, you have no margin for error. No margin for error. And with Houston, they had a smaller margin for error against Duke. And you can see it in the game. That's why Duke would extend to 10 to 11. It was hard for Houston to stay really close. I mean, even when they came back, Cooper Flagg was just too much. But what happened was Houston stuck with it and stuck with it. And then something happened that was very interesting, especially at the end. I mean, Houston was still down. I mean, they needed some help. They were even late in the game, they were down 9. That game was over. And then things got just a little bit tight. Houston kept doing what they did, and now all of a sudden the inbounder was starting to feel some pressure. Now all of a sudden Duke's defenders were starting to feel some pressure. And those young guys from Duke, and it was a combination. The vets from Houston kept playing, kept making plays. They never relented. They kept the same mental toughness throughout. And that pressure started to get to Duke. And Houston then turned it up. You could see the Houston's players could feel Duke pressured. Like that one inbounds pass, it was almost a 5 count. They got knocked away by Sharp. You could see Houston realize, oh, my God, this team. And even with Tugler's reach over, which I haven't seen since high school or junior high, reach over and get a technical because you hit the ball on the inbounds. Even with that, it didn't matter because Houston got key rebounds. They made key threes, and Duke got tight. And Houston didn't. Robert stepped to the line. I'm like, I told my wife, I said, he's making both of these because he's a veteran. Yeah. And Houston right now has no fear because they've been in these situations. And Duke has tremendous fear. You could see it in their eyes. As soon as Proctor stepped to the line for Duke, I'm like, this guy's tight as a booty hole. Boink!
But Lance, the Cougs didn't win the game because of any of that. Because of the referee.
No.
Who called the foul.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's right.
He called that foul. And it was the worst call.
Yeah.
It was stolen from Duke. They can't. That's the worst call in the history of basketball.
No. I mean, how do you call that call? Well, how do you make two baskets in 13 and a half minutes? How do you make one basket in the last 10 and a half minutes? Duke made one field goal in the last 10 and a half minutes. And that's not just Duke playing tight. That's Houston D'ing their butts up.
It was all about that foul. That's right. They were cheated out of it.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, how do you call that? I mean, Duke fans were grasping, or people who bet Duke or whatever, were grasping for anything at that point. Like, that foul. Like, are y'all going to mention the collapse? Are you going to mention that you can't make a free throw? Are you going to mention that you can't get a rebound? It's the foul?
Yeah, at one point, about 10 and a half minutes ago.
Not the kicked out of bounds. That didn't matter when the refs missed that.
That didn't count. The clear kick out of bounds that they missed, that didn't count.
That doesn't matter.
Well, actually, they didn't score on that possession, so that was nice. Duke didn't score on the possession afterwards. So the Cougs got the ball. They lost a few seconds, but at least they had the ball back and there was no basket there. But with 8:17 to play, down 14 after the free throw, Proctor free throw, the Cougs were 25-1 to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
You could have gotten the Cougs with 8:17 left, 25-1, and you would have. Oh my gosh, the picking it up. And I'll tell you this, you know me. I hate when the Bucks lose. They got their ass kicked on that game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, all the futures, every single sports book had Duke and were going to get crushed. Should Duke win the national championship?
You mean the sports book didn't get their asses kicked on that? They got
no. I'm sorry. The players got their. I'm sorry. You're right. I love it when the sports books win. The players got their ass kicked because if Duke had won, they would have destroyed the sports books.
So it was,
and the Cougs destroyed that for them. The sports books loved it.
You know, Duke was the right side in that, but all it took was, I mean, honestly, we're talking about 74 seconds. It took 74 seconds to flip the entire game on its head. And what's crazy is it was an 11-1 run the last minute and 14. Duke had a 6-point lead with possession of the ball with 1:14 to go.
How about that?
Pretty much impossible to lose that. And they lost by 3 in regulation. It's the most incredible. I don't know that I have ever, never in a high leverage situation like this, like this level of game. I don't know that I've ever seen this in college basketball history. Not that I can remember, but my memory's terrible now. But I don't remember this type of complete catastrophic finish for one team and heroic finish for another. Like, because it was both. It was both.
It's happened. I mean, I don't know at this stage at this high a level, but we've seen choke jobs, like incredible choke jobs.
We have, but at this stage, in college basketball, I don't recall.
At this high a level, I don't know.
Especially not with a level of team like Duke. Like, Duke was the number one team in the nation through seeding. Like, okay, has it happened before? I'm sure it's happened.
Auburn was the number one team.
Oh, were they the number one? Oh, that's...
Yeah. Auburn was.
Auburn was the true number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dell, down 14.
That's weird because Auburn wasn't even the favorite against Florida.
Yeah.
Like, Duke was the clear favorite to win a national championship. That's kind of, that's a little strange.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dell, I put in down 14, the down 14 soundbite. What were they thinking? This is a little thing, but this is the kind of thing why Kelvin Sampson, throughout the game, were you not like, what is going on with the Cougs? Cooper Flagg would drive, and he would dish it to somebody for an easy layup. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait a minute, this isn't Coug basket. What the hell is going on? Well, here's what was going on. Here is Kelvin Sampson asked after the game what they were thinking down 14.
Kelvin Sampson, when your team was down by 14 tonight, what were you thinking?
Just hang in there. There's 8 or 9 minutes left, right? I can't remember. And I still think that we were still looking for things. Duke is so good defensively. I mean, they are. They're length across the line. So I think, as a coach, you're always probing and looking at and find a matchup, finding something that'll click. And the thing that we found was putting Emmanuel on the ball. Their two best on-ball defenders was Proctor and James. So I had to get those two guys out of there. And we put Emmanuel on the ball. And the thing that we told Emmanuel, I remember telling Shed this last year when we won at Cincinnati, get the ball in the paint. Don't pull up and shoot jumpers. Once you get downhill, take the paint, and you're going to make Mullowatch come up. Just get it on the rim. We'll go get it. And that's JoJo and Juan got some offensive rebounds. And if we couldn't get it up on the rim, we could throw it out and maybe get a three.
Look, we.
Let's say that. Okay, listen. So that was offensively what he changed, and it made a huge difference. But it was what Duke was doing as well. Duke, here's what Kelvin Sampson changed defensively for the Cougs. And I was surprised. He had Jawan on Flagg.
Yeah, the whole game.
He had Jawan on Flagg the whole game. But here's what they were doing. Jawan was on Flagg, but he had help every time Flagg was driving. You know what Kelvin told everybody? No more. Let Jawan take him one-on-one. We're not going to help anymore because it was leading to easy baskets. Because guys would open up because you had to leave your guy to help Jawan. You know what Kelvin Sampson told him? No more. Jawan, you got him, and that's it. No more help. And sure enough, it shut everything down. There were so many easy layups by Duke in that game or in the first three quarters.
Yeah.
It was like, what the hell? How are they getting these easy looks?
I mean, you just
it was
have
because
to help
of the
mean,
help defense.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg is just – Cooper Flagg's really, really good on penetration.
And then the Cougs did the same thing to them. Sharp, get the ball, and drive. Don't settle for a three. Drive, dish, put it up, and let when Malawach comes out to defend you, now all of a sudden we got the rebounds. So it was something so simple, yet Kelvin Sampson recognizes this, makes adjustments during the game, all right, which is what Bobby Slowick never did, okay? And so here we are. You're winning a game because of coaches' adjustments. And that's why Nick Caley is the new offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the adjustments helped. I don't know that you win the game. Like, you win the game because you just made three plays at the end of the game. You kept it close enough to make three plays. You know, Cooper Flagg is really, really good. Man, as a passer, golly. He's got handles. He's a great passer. I was surprised to see Jaywan on him, but you didn't have a lot of options. But it was just, you know, Duke just had to hang around. I mean, Houston just had to hang around just enough to make some plays. And this game against Florida, I mean, look, and people hate Duke. I know you like him, John. You like sportsbook and Duke. Not a man of the people. If you like sportsbooks and Duke, if you want sportsbook to beat people and for Duke to win,
like
you are the anti-man
like
of the people.
Who graduate. I like good kids who graduate.
You're an AMOP. What about University of Houston good kids who graduate?
Oh,
why do they just have to be Duke?
I love them. No. I didn't like Duke against Houston. Of course I didn't like Duke against Houston.
So nobody
but
likes
why
Duke.
Why are we mad at kids who graduate and they suck,
because they're the worst. We have to pick a team and they're the worst. It's always been like that and it's always going to be like that. You just look at them. They're just Duke. Look at them.
Look at them.
And the internet, the people in the stands, the international basketball community couldn't have been more pleased with Houston beating Duke. It was universally cheered, and the adulation for University of Houston was unlike anything I've seen. And Duke outplayed him and all that, but the fact is, for Houston to win that, it adds even more mystique to they got to win it now. They got to win it so that win carries even greater meaning. They've got to beat Florida tonight, so it carries greater meaning, because what you're going to do is look back at it and say, Houston stayed tough enough, even with Tuggler's. I thought for sure Tuggler's technical foul, and it was a made free throw. I thought for sure that would sink him. It didn't even bother him.
Well, we'll hear from Kelvin about that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And if you want to get in, this is a Cougs day, all right? National championship tonight. The biggest win in program history Saturday. The most unlikely comeback maybe ever. Let's go. 713-780-3776. Game day men's health is what we're talking about right now. It's 4 in the morning here, by the way. I'm in L.A., and it's 5 in the morning now. And I feel great. And I feel great in large part because of because of game day men's health. I went there last week. I did my blood tests. I got to tell you, there's nobody more professional, more knowledgeable how to get to where you want to get to. You are going to take, they got the labs right there on site. You'll get your blood tested. They'll tell you exactly what is going on, where you got to get better, where you're deficient, where you can reach your goals. You want to get leaner? You want to get stronger? Do you want to get more focused? All of these things, whatever it is that you're looking for. You want to be ripped? They know how to do it, okay? And they're going to help you get there. GameDayMensHealth.com. Testosterone replacement is important, guys. If you are sluggish and you're not feeling the same, you got to look at your testosterone. Do it at GameDayMensHealth.com, GameDayMensHealth.com. All right, welcome back. Hopefully the audio problem has been solved. Dell was working on it, and hopefully you guys, if not, let us know. You can reach us at John Granato, at Lance Erline, at Dell V2 on X. Okay, so... hopefully it is better, or you Twitch people, you can tell us if it's still bad. Dell can work on it. Dell is a technical genius. He's literally a technical genius. So And there's nothing he can't solve as far as any kind of audio problem. Before we left, we talked about the Tugler technical foul. And Kelvin Sampson, after the game, I would have thought that he'd be nuts, right? I mean, because you see him, it's so funny the things that he gets really, really mad at. And I've still got to find out why he was so mad at Malik Wilson when they were playing at Baylor in the final minute of the game. He'll remember, too. Hopefully I'll see him this offseason. I want to ask him, because I never seen a coach as mad as he was in that win with Malik Wilson. I'm going to ask him what happened. But you would have thought, hey, JoJo, that's just a mental mistake. You can't reach behind there. You know that. And you've been playing basketball forever. It just doesn't happen. And in that situation, as big as it was, for JoJo to reach behind and grab that ball, it couldn't have been a bigger brain fart. So here is Kelvin Sampson on why he didn't get mad at JoJo's technical.
He is such a big heart. Such a big heart. I didn't get mad at him. Matter of fact, normally if you get a technical, I take you out. But that was born out of effort and wanting to do the right thing. But it's only one free throw. And it still was a two-possession game. So there was no need to foul. You know, we're a miss one and one or a miss free throw or whatever. Got a couple stops. The only thing I did different was switch who was on the ball offensively. Put Emmanuel Sharp on the ball. Their best defender was Proctor and James, and they had them on LJ and Milos. So I didn't want to put either one of those guys in ball screen, so I put Emmanuel in the ball screen. So Emmanuel got in the paint. And once you get in the paint and you get the ball in the rim, if it goes in, awesome. If not, it's a geography rebound. Ball's not going to bounce out to the free throw line. It's going to bounce up around the rim. Those are the ones we can go tip in or get out and dagger out for a three. So I just like the way we kept our composure and trusted our culture.
He didn't get mad. He did collapse down to his knee where he was like, oh, my God. He did show some emotion. I want to rewrite that whole thing. He didn't scream it. He didn't scream at Tugler. He did go down. He did take a knee.
Well, it was about his. It was a body. It was a kick to the nuts.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He felt it. Yeah. There was emotion there, but it wasn't yelling and screaming, because everything he said made sense.
Yeah.
You know.
No. Tonight, I can't. I mean, holy crap! Playing for the national title. This team. I love this team. I really thought they would be here. I've got them. I love this team, and I think they can do it. You got to get through Walter Clayton, though, man. That dude is so good.
Yeah, but he's not as good as Flagg. That's Duke is better than Florida. This is not as tough a matchup to me.
I don't know, dude. Florida's pretty damn good.
Florida's good.
Now,
Duke is better.
I will say this. I think Florida – no, you're right. I think
– Duke was beating 9-11 for a lot of the time. Like, Duke is really good. They got tight. No, Florida's probably a little less likely to get tight, because we've seen them play well when they've been
behind.
Well,
they said they've come back from deficits.
Yeah. They've got they're battle-tested. And you brought this up before. ACC doesn't battle. Duke's not battle-tested. They're young guys who haven't really been battle-tested. Cougs have been battle-tested. Florida's been battle-tested.
What Kelvin's quote was, hey, we didn't play in a toy poodle league. We were 19-1 in the Big 12. Okay. This ain't a toy poodle league.
Then he shouted out his coaches.
No toy poodle league either. But I'm going to tell you what. Tennessee came out of there. Tennessee was one of the top teams out of there, and the Cougs just shut them. I mean, kicked their hinies. Okay. So I don't know that it's going to be that same kind of game. But boy, sure would be nice if it wasn't as Saturday night and the Purdue game. The Gonzaga game, going back to Gonzaga, where you're holding on for dear life at the end. The Purdue game, where you need the greatest inbounds in basketball history.
Yeah, that's true.
The Duke game, when you're down 14 with 8:17 left. I mean, this is they're cardiac kids. You're never going to say you're out of it. Never.
No, there's been a lot of that, but. I think, you know, what Florida does well is they've got several players who are energy players who get offensive rebounds, who block shots. Like, They've got, we know about Clayton. We know how good Clayton is, and we know that they've, you know, they've got some talent in the backcourt. But the one thing that really stands out, you know, I like Elijah Martin a lot too. One thing that really stands out though is they're energy players who get on the boards and make hustle plays, and they're not star players. They're bigs, but Houston has that too. I mean, that's kind of how Houston is. And so when you start matching up star for star or lead for lead, yeah, Clayton's going to have the advantage over Cryer, you know, on paper. But we don't. But these games don't get played on paper. So let's see how Clayton handles the pressure he's going to get from Houston at the top. He's going to get more pressure than he got from Auburn. Let's see how they deal with the pressure of Houston's offensive rebounding, because Houston's offensive rebounding played a major factor at the end of that game against, and frankly, at multiple times in that game. You, beginning of the show, you read off a bunch of stats where it's the first time a team lost that did this, and this. One thing you didn't say is Duke led in rebounds. One thing you didn't say is that they led in rebounds. You know why? Because Houston was on those boards. And so, you know, yeah, Everyone's got a plan until Houston, you know, punches you in the mouth, and it's not, you can beat Houston, but it's really hard because it won't go according to plan. You're going to have to beat them. There's no tight route from A to B. All along, between the beginning of the game to the end of the game, it's not going to go as you planned it. So you better be able to make adjustments if you want to beat Houston, because they're going to make it. You just can't simulate the pressure that they put on you. And when I say pressure, not just on-ball pressure, I mean the pressure of constantly having to put a body on somebody, constantly have to, you know, to get back defensively, constantly having to move without the ball. Because if you get stagnant around the perimeter, you're cooked. I mean, you're cooked against Houston if you just stagnate around the perimeter and you don't move. That, ask Tennessee how that goes. It does not go well. You're not going to just beat them shooting threes. That's not going to win for you. So,
well, with a,
it's a good
with
game. It's Florida, small, yeah, favorite, like a one-point favorite today.
Yeah, one and a half. As, with this, though, with Walter Clayton, I don't know that you need help defense like you needed against Cooper Flagg, because if he gets inside, he's going, right, to get easy buckets. And then if, you know what, he found open guys when he helped defense. I don't think you're going to need that kind of help defense with Walter Clayton. Walter Clayton is, you just got to get out there on him and make sure he doesn't have open threes. There was an open three for Cooper Flagg, or no, for Con Knipple, that I was like, oh my gosh, how in the world, right, are you leaving that shooter like that? But they had to help defense on Cooper Flagg. That's not going to be the case here. I think Shedd or Cryer or Milos. I was surprised how little Milos played in the first half. Milos was on the bench for most of the first, a lot of that first half. It was like, wow, what happened to Milos here?
Dell just screamed out, two fouls, dummy. He said, dummy.
Well, I don't care about two fouls. Get in the freaking game.
No, we're not doing that. Guy Lewis, yeah, did that. No.
No.
If you're,
no,
a fan, no, if you're a Houston sports historian, you know that Guy Lewis did that with Larry Meshaw. We're not doing that. No, we're not going to a Final Four and leaving a guy in.
I'm not worried about two fouls. I'm not worried.
Well, you're
about
not. Kelvin, good thing you're not coaching the University of Houston.
Yeah. Well, maybe,
his name is
maybe
Kelvin Sampson, not maybe Calvin Sampson, John.
Maybe. No, he said Kevin Sampson. Maybe we're not down 14 if I'm coaching him. Maybe we're
God,
not down 14.
John, are you really saying you're a better coach than Kelvin Sampson?
I didn't say that.
Are you prepared?
You don't know. You
are
don't
you
know?
Prepared to say that? No. They
I'm
kept Milos out because
right
he
now.
Knew what he was doing.
Well, okay. What you?
Kelvin,
who
not
what,
Kevin.
It's Kelvin, not Kevin. And it's Gonzaga, not Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Okay? And it's Allstate Windows and Siding.
Allstate Windows and Siding, not Siding and Windows. It's Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding. Great company, family-owned, family-operated, years and years they've been in business. And now is when a lot of people are getting windows done because the weather is not brutal yet. When the weather is brutal, you're going to know it. Your house is going to feel more humid. You know why? You have leaky windows. You start getting dust around your home. That's a sign of leaky windows. It happens to a lot of people. The earth shifts here. We got all that clay beneath us. And so you're going to have a lot of windows that used to be properly sealed, and they're no longer sealed properly. And if you get windows that are made the right way, that doesn't happen to you like it does with cheaper windows. Double pane, double strength windows add to your efficiency when they're made right here in the state of Texas with Allstate Windows and Siding. They want to make sure that your windows are made and built for the weather that you're going to face here. So it's very, very important to them that you have the proper windows to add to your energy efficiency, to give you the comfort that you deserve when it gets hot outside. That's super important. And it makes, you know, it's safer. It adds safety. It makes your home look better. It makes the house less noisy. There's a lot of advantages there. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. Go to the website, see their big discounts they have. But guess what? When you give them a call, you're going to get an even bigger discount when you mention that you're an ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listener. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
All right, pretty quick segment here because what have you learned this weekend? Brought to you by Game Day Men's Health is coming up next. And you guys learned something, okay? What did you learn this? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about your buddies? What did you learn about friends? What did you learn about family, your wife? What did you learn about the Cougs? What did you learn about the Rockets? What did you learn about the Astros? What about those giant Jordan? Whatever, I don't want to say. A homer in the ninth, down two, and win the game? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Take that, Twins. Take that, all you Carlos Correa lovers out there. Okay?
They won two or three. They won two or three. I am going to come back to for a second to the Rockets. They got about 2 minutes of first segment. If we're going to mention the Astros, I 100% want to mention the team that is the best team in the city right now, and it's the Houston Rockets. And
it's the Cougs.
I want to go back to the Oklahoma City game. That was a beating from start to finish.
Yep.
It was a domination in the first half. They closed it at the end of the half down a little bit and made it more respectable. In the second half, I thought a run was coming from Oklahoma City, but they never really made a run. Like, there was pretty much standard flow of the game, and the Rockets just dominated that one. In the from start to finish, they were the better team. Then they go to Golden State, the House of Horrors. We know how hard it is to win in Golden State. Just doesn't happen, generally speaking. And this is unlike anything we've seen. So you have, in case you missed it, Draymond did his Draymond thing where, you know, he's throwing an elbow at Alperen Şengün, and then he, you know, they called him a tech, and then he started clapping in the ref's face, like, you know, acting like Draymond was trying to hype himself up, and all he did was piss off the Rockets. Like, this Rocket team is so surly and so salty, you cannot just poke a stick at them and think you're going to intimidate them. That doesn't happen. You don't have enough dogs over there in Golden State to deal with what you just unleashed in Houston. Like, you just don't. Do you understand? Houston is the saltiest team in all of basketball now. And it's not even close.
Uh-huh.
It's not even close. And I'm adding Amen Thompson in there. He's one of who? Who?
Where his twin brother resides. The Pistons are pretty salty, too.
They're pretty salty, too, but they're not. Well, they don't have Dylan Brooks.
They got Isaiah Stewart.
They do have Isaiah Stewart. But
Isaiah Stewart, Dell, he's all talk.
What are you talking? He's not.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he gets into everything. He has been thrown out
of several games for putting his hands on people this year.
He's more like
I mean, he's not a good player. He's just a troublemaker. Surliness.
He's a hockey goon.
He is. He's a goon with no talent. I mean, get out of here, Isaiah Stewart.
He's a good
we got our men.
Sure.
We got our men who throws people to the floor.
One of our goons had 24, 25 yesterday, Dylan Brooks. He's a hockey goon who can actually score sometimes.
Dylan Brooks isn't a goon. He's an agitator. He's not a goon.
And not only that, but are you still on the train that Amen won't be in the all defensive first team? Lance?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I told you Amen was going to be all defense first team. And I don't even remember
if that was a conversation.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not on a train. I don't even remember that train.
Okay. Well, he's going to be all defense first team.
Well, he should be. He's the best defender in the league.
Well, okay. He is spectacular. I mean, to hold Steph to three is ridiculous.
Now, he's not, by the way, he's not even listed. He's not even in consideration to be the top defense.
He'll be all defense first team.
Well, he may be. Hopefully he is. But it's crazy because Draymond Green now is a small favorite for Defensive Player of the Year.
That's so dumb.
And then I guess Wembanyama might have gotten it had he stayed healthy. And there's Braden. There's like
Dyson Daniels people love.
Dyson Daniels, yeah. And there's somebody else. But the top three, he's not even in the top three.
For I'm looking at one list. Draymond, Evan Mobley, Dort, Dyson Daniels, Jackson Jr., Shea. Not a mention of Amen in like the
That's
top
just
six
so stupid. He's the best defender in the league.
According to, sure, Rocket fans, other people would say other people. That's just how it goes.
That is crazy. Which 15 players are going to hit? I'm looking at a prediction here. I mean, he's not first-team All-NBA? Oh, okay. First-team. Okay, I'm looking at the predictions for.
Well, he may not be first-team All-NBA. What difference does it make? He will be. By next year, he'll be Defensive Player of the Year.
Right. I mean, that's so crazy.
I mean, he just put it on SGA and Steph Curry.
It's so crazy.
He's a phenomenal, twitchy athlete with length who can – and he was guarding – he was face-guarding Steph Curry and playing ball-denial defense off the wing. And they didn't know how to handle it. Golden State had no idea to handle it. Like, he held Steph Curry to 3 points. And actually, the whole team did because it was a good job also by come on, get my memory back, please. When Dylan Brooks was guarding him also, because Dylan Brooks was guarding him for a while also, all the Rockets knew where he was coming off the screen, and they all did a great job. And they asked Alperen what the game plan was, and he said, well, the game plan was just to stop Steph Curry. If other guys want to get their shots, go ahead. But we weren't letting Steph Curry beat us. And, man, that's frankly, now it's easier to do when you're off the ball than on the ball. Because on ball, lead guards who have the ball in their hands all the time are a little bit harder to stop. But when you're running off screens and all that, that's a lot of extra work you have to do. I think Houston, the Cougars, should be the same way. We're not letting Clayton beat us. The over-under on Clayton tonight is 19.5 points. You can't let Clayton beat you. If Clayton doesn't have a good game, I think Houston wins. And I think Uzan is going to have – I think he's going to have the big game tonight.
Yeah.
I think he's set up for the big game.
God, so good. This is so good. Their first national championship, all those great teams. They are the best program, the greatest program to have never won.
Yep,
a national championship.
Seven Final Fours without one. Hopefully this will be six total. We don't count this one yet. If you win it, then monkey off the back.
Right, and this is the, I mean, talk about, I mean, and his team is, all the teams that he's had. Did you see Marcus Sasser watching the game?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
I mean, Jamal Shedd watching
well,
the game.
Well, no, I saw Marcus Sasser on Instagram. Did you see Marcus Sasser?
I saw Jamal.
Yeah,
saw
Marcus Jamal Sasser's said. Instagram, he had an entire, like, he followed the end of the game on his Instagram, and it was awesome. I did not see Jamal. I need to see that one.
It is so good. I mean, so good that these guys are rooting for each. Jamal kept saying, that's my roommate. That's my roommate with LJ, when LJ did anything. That is so good. Man, what a night tonight. Man, what a – you talk about giant stones to be able to come back the way that they did. So much fun. Let's break. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. You learned something about yourself. You learned something about somebody else. You learned something about your work, your play, your teams, whatever it is. You got one sentence to tell us. 713-780-3776, brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking right now about my peeps over at Brinkman. Brinkman Quality Roofing. Not Brinks. Brinkman Quality Roofing. So good. I mean, when you go to the website and you see, there's quality in the name, in the website's name. BrinkmanQuality.com. BrinkmanQuality.com. And you'll see Jason Brinkman, they've been doing this for over 50 years. You don't stay in business, and you're not one of the biggest and the best unless you're doing it right. How about a free consultation, 844-215-2865. If you haven't looked at your roof in a while, guess what? Yeah, something happens because we have stuff that happens all the time. We got rains, we got freezes, we got hurricanes, we've got floods, we got everything. Well, if your roof doesn't hold up, That's on you because you got Brinkman Quality Roofing out here coming and making sure and giving you an affidavit that says, listen, they did. They took care of their roof. Their roof was fine. Your insurance company at some point is going to stop insuring you unless you do something about your roof. And you don't let some guy who knocks on the door go up on your roof and fix your roof. That guess what? Brinkman has more jobs fixing their jobs than any other jobs that they have. You're looking for the best way to take care of your roof. BrinkmanQuality.com. Tell them you heard it right here. Well, this is a segment where you guys call in and we take your calls. Unfortunately, Dal just found out we have a phone issue. So those of you that have been trying to call in, did you think you fixed it, Dal, or is there a chance? We're not going to do what you learned this week in a one sentence right here. This is our first technical issue since we've gone on the air in 2007. So you're going to have to just bear with us. We've never had any technical difficulties. So
our phones don't work. The phone company. Do we need to call the phone company?
Well,
remember when you used to call a phone company about something? Because you had home phones?
Oh, no. You have to just call Xfinity or
Let's
whoever.
Call Southwestern Bell. The phone company needs to come and fix our phones.
That's not what we're going to do.
Dumb.
Okay, well, maybe you can tweet it to us or Twitch it to us. Okay.
John's mic troubles and Lance's camera issues are a good omen for the Cougs tonight.
Yeah.
That's what somebody just said.
Why? What's my mic issue?
I don't know. Everyone says you got mic issue. I can't hear it on. It got fixed, right? I can't hear any problems.
Well, Dell had some kind of reverb that he thought he fixed. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know. God.
Now, here's what I learned this weekend.
Technical difficulties today, okay?
I learned that my wife, and she learned that she was way more into the Cougs winning than she thought she would be.
How about that?
She said, as she's watching, she's really getting into it with me. She's like, man, I am so happy for them. I didn't realize I was going to be this excited for them. Part of it is because her little baby, Alec, he was a Butler basketball fan. And because he was watching March Madness with me. And when he was six, he just started following Butler. You know, he just decided he liked Butler in the first round of the game. And they just happened to be that magical year where they went all the way through. And then Duke, beat them. They had that half-court shot that almost went in from, what's his name? White guy from Utah that went to Utah. And he was a Butler fan. And Butler sent him, I wrote the SID, and Butler sent him some gear. And he used to wear Butler gear. And when Duke made him cry. My six-year-old son started crying when Duke beat him. So my wife, it's been on for life with Duke for her. You know, you make her little baby cry. And she's going to hate you. And I said, well, welcome to the club. You hate Duke. Big deal. You're just like the rest of the country.
You made Alec cry too, though. So, I mean, does
How?
She hate you?
How?
I don't know. When you spanked him when he was bad or something?
I don't know. No, I'm not making. Well, if I do make any of her kids cry ever in my life by getting mad at them, she can be as mad as she wants. But if let me get mad and they start crying and all of a sudden it's.
Yeah.
Stop
now she's
it.
On their side.
What?
Now she's on their side. I know. Gordon Hayward is who you're thinking of.
Gordon Hayward, there we go.
The
also,
white guy that got a lot of money and didn't do anything in Boston.
Also, there was a huge text string fight about Bronny James yesterday that ended up involving an NFL GM and all three of my boys. Well, my boys at home, not Drake, obviously. And it got really contentious.
Bronny? Who's pro-Bronny?
Oh, they're all pro-Bronny. Bronny's really proved himself that he belongs in this league.
Bronny's terrible. Guess what I learned this weekend? That your kids don't know anything about talent. That's what I just learned about this weekend, okay?
But don't start a text string because they're relentless.
What I learned this weekend, if you're on your way to the airport and you're old enough and white enough and angry enough, you can even shame a homeless person.
What happened?
Damn One it. Sentence, sorry.
Damn it.
You can,
it has to be a viral. It has to be something viral.
No, I saw it in person. I saw it as I was driving to the airport.
What the hell, Dell? You can tell us. There's
one
no phone lines.
You can't.
Sorry, one sentence. Sorry.
You
want to hear the rest of that, you can listen from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Sorry, the game is one sentence. Sorry.
The game is one sentence. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that the game is just one sentence.
I'm just following the rules.
Boy, people are ugly to you on this Twitch thing. I can't even say, I can't even believe it.
Oh, joy. I mean, he doesn't. The internet's upset with someone.
mostly just you.
That's you. Well, yeah, someone.
He's someone.
I'm
it doesn't
the someone
matter.
In this case. But generally, yeah. The internet's always upset with someone. Big yeah. deal anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Dell does look like a rideshare driver. Oh, he doesn't?
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
I could see you.
Do rideshare drivers have a certain look?
I want to do that here in L.A. Might as well. I'm not doing anything all day. I'm thinking I'm going to be an Uber driver.
Oh, you can have conversations with people. Hey, bud, how's it going?
No.
There's water in the back.
No,
there's some mints
no,
if you
no.
like.
My favorite Uber drivers don't say a word.
Oh, that's no, all. They're the best, yeah.
They're the best. I don't need, you know, I don't need how's your day, where are you going, where you. I don't need it.
I will
that.
Say, when I've been in other countries, I don't mind talking to them. The drivers in other countries, they usually have some pretty interesting stuff. The guys in Cuba were really interesting to talk to. Here, just get me there. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. What's the weather like there today?
In the 50s?
Cold? 50s, huh?
Yeah, 50s. Nice. It gets into the 60s.
But nice. You guys got it nice there. We got here to L.A. last night. Oh, I found a place. Oh, I know what I learned this weekend.
What'd you learn?
I went to a restaurant in Los Angeles that has a no tipping policy, and I loved it.
It's fantastic. Build it into the price of the food. That's perfect. Yeah. Good.
Except it was cheap.
Oh, well, even better.
Yeah, and it was sushi. It was good. Well, that was more than one cent.
Yeah.
But okay, so we have phone issues. We apologize. We're getting back to Cougs basketball. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Well, Tom has one if we want to do that. He tweeted us.
He tweeted us. What did Tom say?
I learned when your girlfriend drops the L-bomb on you and you don't say it back, stop making future plans with her. You just learned that?
Yeah.
Isn't that the great fear that if she's going to say it before you're ready to say it, it's going to blow up everything you had going? Isn't that always the fear?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I learned that Garrett has given up on Texas A&M sports and is using the word we talking about the Cougs. Of course you are. How about the stat where Baylor, TCU, U of H, what other Texas schools are playing for a national title in football or basketball? And the only ones that haven't are not playing for a national title, haven't gotten to a national title game, Texas and Texas A&M. It was Houston, it was TCU, it was in the last 15 years, the only ones that the Texas and Texas A&M are the ones who haven't. Baylor's played. There was one more team. I forget who it is. Tech. Tech played for a national championship in basketball.
Yeah, Virginia.
Yep. Yeah. Those four teams have played for a national championship in a national championship
God,
game.
I remember that's when I was flying back and forth, 2019, when I was flying back and forth from Houston to L.A. every week to do a TV in studio. We don't talk about inefficient. Before COVID, you didn't do remote hits very often. If you wanted to do a remote hit, I had to drive to the Texans. The Texans had this room with a team cam and all that stuff. Now it's no big deal at all. But I remember I flew in there and I watched the national championship from my hotel room, and that was a good game. That was a fun game too. But yeah, if you just got out of your coma, University of Houston is playing for a national championship. 7 Final Fours for the Cougs. They're now in a national championship game. This is their third national championship game that I recall, right? 2 with Guy V in this one. So I think this is their third one. They never won one. Tonight is the night. And KJ sent us something. No. It was Dream Shake. Jay Billis said, the physicality Houston brings. This is before the Duke game. He said, the physicality Houston brings, the way they can control tempo. Houston won 17 straight and 30 of their last 31. Three of their losses were in overtime. They live in close games. Duke is not. They haven't been challenged. How will they react? Mm-hmm. And that was prophetic. Pretty prescient by Jay Billis. But it was also pretty obvious, too.
Yep.
I mean, it's just the truth.
Yep. Florida closes in the last 4 minutes like Secretariat in the Preakness Stakes. That's what we have to fight against tonight. They've closed deficits in each of the last four games like monsters.
Yeah.
And to win, and they did it to UConn, Tech, and Auburn.
Well, they came out red hot in the second half against Auburn,
which
was the problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were down, 6 at the half. Two teams down 6 at the half, both won in the Final Four. We got a break, 713-780-3776. Sorry about the phones, everybody. We will try to get that fixed. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow so you guys can get in if the phones work.
Yeah, that would be great.
Now. Yeah, it would be great if the phones work, especially on a day when people want to call in and talk about the game. Let's talk about John Daspit now, though.
John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Spoke with John last week, and I'm sure I'll hear from him soon about what's going on sports-wise. Big sports fan. He got 2 degrees at Texas. He got his law degree at University of Houston. He has done NIL deals with both of those teams, and including Houston basketball. You may see his commercial, as a matter of fact, on the championship game tonight. Something to keep an eye out for. You know, John Daspit is a personal injury lawyer here in Houston, but he services the entire state. And it's not just services the entire state. He makes sure that people who have been badly injured, people who have been, who have lost property or their health or whatever the case may be due to someone's negligence, is something that has to be accounted for. And I said property because there's security stuff that he does. Like, I didn't even realize all the different ways that John Daspit can serve the community of people who have been, where negligence has played a part in problems for people. And John Daspit handles that. And, it's been loss of life he's had to deal with before for families, loss of limb for some jobs, serious injuries that have kept people from working for the rest of their lives. These require a delicate touch, but also, at the same time, the touch of a hammer when it comes to dealing with the insurance companies who want to squeeze you and screw you out of what you have coming to you for someone else's negligence. And that's where John Daspit works harder than anyone else out there. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.